Esoterica Special Edition. Indie music. Unsigned music. Experimental music. Brought to you from the Esoterica program on WQNA-TV, the digital broadcast of the Springfield Community Broadcasters. SCBRadio.org.
I sit down with Stelios Ramalaitis from Athens, Greece, to talk about his project, Loop. You can find it on Bandcamp at loop, L-U-U-P, .bandcamp.com.
Experimental music is very open.
Right.
Has a lot of interpretations. So actually, you can, the good thing about it, in my opinion, is that you can create your own definition of experimental music. You know, you can be a leader in your own path. You don't have to follow any rules or something. It gives you that freedom. So you can approach it in endless ways. It's not an academic form with specific rules. So you kind of make your own rules about it. So you said, what was the first question?
When did you first become aware of experimental sound and music?
Yes. I first was aware of experimental sound and music in high school, when I discovered the work, the ballet, A Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky. That was my first encounter of, you know, dissonant harmony, polytonality, polyrhythmic patterns. The whole experience of this music was something extraordinary for at least for a 17-year-old metalhead like me. It opened up so many possibilities, and it is a guidance for me ever since. You know, the whole work of Stravinsky is a desert island collection for me. It was my first encounter to advanced music thought, and also about the sound that you mentioned. It was my discovery of sound, you know, color as well, from the orchestration. So that, I think, was my first encounter with something more, a lot different than the other things I listened to till then.
Interesting.
And it was my first, you know, my first encounter with serious 20th century classical music. It was a whole different world.
So for you, the experiments started off with classical music.
Yeah.
So the experiments were within the realm of music then, the experiments within that framework.
Yeah, it didn't start with classical. mainly, but it was like, you know, as a listener, I was deeply influenced by it. The actual experiments with flute, because I'm a flutist, began around 2007. And I was influenced then by Robert Fripp, you know, from Queen Crimson, who I discovered his Frippertronics, his method of looping. And I started experimenting with that procedure, that approach. Since, you know, with the flute, you cannot play chords, real chords. So using loops was a way to find how to do a chord background with just the flute. So that was the basis of our first album. It was based around flute loops, and then turned into either songs or improvisations or sound collage, you know, different ways.
I see.
That was the first time I experimented with, you know, not just playing with the band, doing something like a solo project. It started like a studio project. I didn't know if we would ever, you know, make a concert or something, but eventually we did some.
Funny you say Robert Fripp, because if I was going to answer these questions, my answer would be No Pussyfooting, which was Brian Eno and Robert Fripp collaboration. That was the first album that I got in my hands that I knew was of an experimental nature. So I was already listening to by that time underground music, if you will, or independent. But to me, it didn't really hit me that it was very experimental until No Pussyfooting album. My friend said it sounded like the vacuum cleaner in the next room.
But, you know, I like the out of the box, you know, out of the box thinking that many composers have these days, you know, or the, at least the last 30 years. There's a lot of, because I did also a seminar about open score music and free improvisation, and the approach of these things is very, you know, very open minded. They have you can write up a whole work with just guidelines, you know, with just phrases or just drawings. You can come up with a whole new work with just drawings. It's a whole new way of thinking about music. So I like out of the box thinking as well.
So how does that, once you became aware of it, how soon was it before you, we get to our second question, when you began to do your own experiments? Almost immediately, or did it take a while?
I don't understand that question.
When did you start doing your experiments?
Okay. I started learning the flute and then playing with bands. And I don't know. It just seemed like I was trying to find something different than just playing with the band, which I love and still doing these days. But I tried to find a more different approach, like a solo project. You know, what can I do, like on my own, without any other. At least that's how it started. The question was, how can I make music with just me, just the flute, and not being only solo. Have layers of music as well. That's what where it started, but it developed from there. And it went to different places. It eventually had more cooperation. Though it started like a solo project, it evolved in a lot of cooperation with other musicians. I did the first phase with just a solo version. And then I thought that it would be better to cooperate, because this project is not actually a band. It doesn't have, you know, specific members. Each track or each song defines its members. So each song of the album has a different combination of people. In every album we have that. So on every occasion of the song, what the song requires, you know, it may require one person, it may require 15. Well, you know, since I started some music theory lessons and composing lessons, I would say I belong more in the world of music. But I use different approaches. I try to use different approaches. So I am fascinated by the world of sound as well, and the improvisation world as well, and I try to use them all, because every approach you learn something. Constructed music and composing, you know, more like a score thing. But as a listener and as a musician, I try to be in every world that I can, to try to learn from every world whatever I can. Thank you. thought, I think you said something about success.
The fourth question, how do you know if ever an experiment was a success?
Yeah, that is a difficult question.
I know, I can think of many ways, but I wanted to hear what others would say.
Yeah. Obviously, financially is not, you know, the reason for success.
Yeah, indeed.
I think you just feel you have for every project or every thing work that you are doing, you have a vision of it at some point. You know where you want to go. Of course, that vision always changes in the end, and that's a good thing. You know, many times you thought, how did I get there? I started way differently, but there is a point that you just feel it, that this is an accomplished thing. You know, it has reached its purpose. So success is only for your vision, the completion of the original vision.
Interesting. I can see that. Project's still active, right?
Yes, you know, due to the circumstances. We're not obviously we're not, you know, like a band touring all the time or something,
right?
We just when some kind of vision that is worth, you know, projecting to the world for me, when I think that I have a vision that has not been, you know, really worked, an area of music which has not really been worked, at least in to my listenings, I find it interesting to dive into it. Like the latest album we did I tried to find the essence of black metal through classical orchestration and classical instruments. Try to find some kind of, you know, a dark aspect of music, and enhance it with the aesthetics of even black metal. It is called the Canticles of the Holy Scythe.
For a million years. Fine.
So, you know, I try to make every album different. Very different than the other one. It's what fascinates me to, you know, I like that we don't have a specific members. We can have the freedom to work with whoever the track needs, the music needs. So, you know, that gives us more opportunities to collaborate with different people and different aspects. And that fascinates me in music as well. To not, you know, not achieve one goal and then continue following that path. You know, throw yourself into the unknown and try to find the solution to the problems that they will appear. Sometimes I try to bring big problems to this project. So, you know, the approach would be totally different than the previous one.
Crave the dagger. Crave the dagger.
What I want to do is talk to people in the future on the podcast about specific releases. You know, like I imagine what we're hearing a lot during this recording is from the Meadow Rituals, which actually is the only thing I've had from your project over the years. And now I have this new one. I'm really thank you for that. I can't wait to hear it. I'll probably want to mention that Meadow Rituals. What can you tell me about that one briefly?
Meadow Rituals is the most important album for this project because it really, you know, with that album, I realized the possibilities of the different collaborations on each track. And we had the privilege to work with 19 musicians on this one. It was also the first album that I managed to find a way to present it and live with various forms. We have played it as a trio, we have played it as a quintet, and we did some shows in Greece and in Cyprus and in Turkey. And yeah, it was, you know, the first album that I realized the potentials of working on every track with different people and the freedom that this can give you. Also, I was very happy to collaborate with the US label releasing it, Experimedia. And there was also a very nice gesture from Jeremy Bible. When the album was released, he asked some musicians to do remixes and covers of some of the tracks of the album. So that was of the
meta ritual.
Yeah. So
what was that called?
This was the meta rituals remixes.
Oh, I think I did see that.
Yeah, it was given as a gift, a free gift for people buying it directly from Xpermedia back then. Mm. And we had a lot of great artists like Aaron Martin, Hummingbird, covering some pieces from the album, which was great.
Is that on your YouTube channel?
That's on my Bandcamp.
You should say that your addresses for the record, so people can find you.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
That's in loop.bandcamp.com, I think.
And that's L-U-U-P.
L-U-U-P.
And then what about the YouTube? You want to send people there?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel.
What? I can't remember what it was. Where was that?
I think it's Loop Band, L-U-U-P Band. We discovered some live videos recently, so we uploaded them there. We have some videos which we did for the latest album as well.
I had only discovered your YouTube page recently and haven't had a chance to absorb much of it yet. I was watching the Horse Heart Live at Six Dogs earlier today.
Yeah, that was the recently discovered videos with a good sound. It was a sound from the mixing board.
Yeah, you have here Loop Topic.
Yeah. You know, I don't know all about this YouTube
right
things.
But they'll know that they're at the right page if they see that. And there's an animation of some of the members there, musicians.
Okay.
Or is that what that is? Three guys? The cartoon?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that yet, so. Ah, here we go. Can you hear that? That's all right. We can.
I will send you
definitely
some more links.
Invite folks to go check out your YouTube because there's plenty of content there. So you could just probably search Loop, L-U-U-P. That's how it came up when I did that. So Music. It'll say.
I have trouble.
Yeah.
I have a trouble with the name because it originally is with umlauts, the U's.
Right.
When you search it, it has some problems.
I'd like to listen to that latest release. What was it called again?
It was. It is Canticles of the Holy Scythe.
Canticles of the Holy Scythe. The black metal
released,
inspire.
Yeah, it was.
Once I get a chance to listen to that, I want to cycle around and we can talk about that specific release in detail if you like. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners about the project before I let you go? And we're going to listen to some of the music here on the podcast before it's over, so you can hear what we were talking about without hearing us talking over it. So do you have anything else you want to say before I do that?
I want to thank you for inviting me. I want to thank you also for having, you know, an experimental a show that you can project some experimental stuff. That's very rare these days.
Right.
So yeah. I want to thank you for that.
All right. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. That's why I started doing the show 20 years ago, you know, because I thought it needed to be done.
Yeah, it needs to be done.
And there's just so much that people do, and it's really interesting to listen to what different people approach the idea of experimenting with, you know, what they come up with. It's a different way of not only making the music, but also of listening to the music or the sound. So anyway, I'm really glad that you came to, you agreed to talk, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to.
Can't wait to hear the album. I'm gonna go upstairs and decompress it right now.
left. Great Mercury, thou art the serpent, the power, and the glory. I call you with all your names, above and below. Thank you.